We have the slower video for the adults. It takes them a little longer to warm up to get into this, but no, it's good. You know, one of my favorite things to do, no matter what season it is to gather around a campfire. Now, no campfire is a bad time in my experience, but you know what I think makes a really good fire? When everyone who shows up brings something. What would you bring to a campfire? Go for it. Marshmallows. That's right. We got marshmallows. I came prepared. What else do you have to have with the marshmallows? Chocolate. Now, I'm a total cheater. I'm not going to lie. I love the celebration cookies because the chocolate and cracker are in one. But right, chocolate, if you're a traditionalist, a graham cracker, these are better because you can also get them in dark chocolate and caramel filled. So pro tip for anyone, celebration cookies are the win. Okay, what are some other things that you'd love someone to bring? Firewood, yeah. Hopefully someone remembers to bring firewood. I once heard a story of a bunch of guys who got together and forgot to bring the flame. It wasn't a good time for any of them. What else would you love to bring? Hot dogs? A lighter? These things are good. Yeah, we got our campfire going already. What else? Oh man, hot chocolate, chairs, food, snacks. Those are all good things. For me, there's like two other quintessential. Like I'm weird. I love the campfire, but I don't like the like sweet side. Like I'll just eat the celebration cookie if I'm honest. Like I don't do that. So I got to have something salty, you know, because we got to have something for everybody because not everybody is into the sweets. And then if you're going to have the salty, what else do you need? You need something to drink. I heard beer. I would like that, but for the illustration today, we're going to just have Coke, okay? Right? We got to bring things, right? And part of having all of these things is when we show up with one of them, we have something to offer to make the campfire better. We have a way to serve the other people who are in our group. And so the best campfire will always have that group of people who show up. They have sort of a different thing, maybe the person with the sweets, the person with the salty, the person with the drinks. Hopefully everyone brings sort of a log or two to put on the fire so you can keep it going. You know, this is part of having a great campfire together. Well, that campfire feel and that mentality that we have about going to the best campfire is sort of what we should carry on when we come to church. Church is meant to be, or what we call church, which is really just Sunday service because we are the church of the people. But what it is this idea that we all come and we bring something to have a great experience together so we can carry that with us throughout the week. And so we all need to bring things. And what we saw in today's scripture reading in Acts chapter 2 is that this is what the church did. For you kids, you don't know this, but we've been going through a sermon series down here called The Way of Jesus. And as we're going through this sermon series, what we're talking about is how can we follow the model that Jesus gave us for life? And one of the big pieces of that is that we need to live in community, and that's what the adults talked about last week. If you weren't here last week, you can watch it online. But we talked about how we have different sort of groups of people that we're meant to be a part of, that God brought us here to be a part of. But when we come to those things, we need to be contributors. No one likes a leech. No one wants somebody that just always shows up and just wants to take, take, take. What we want is that campfire feel where we're supposed to bring things for the experience of everyone. Then everyone has something to receive. But we also have purpose in coming where everyone has something to bring or to participate in. In the early church, they did this pretty well. They did this idea and this concept of making sure that everyone took part and had something to bring so that the church would grow and flourish. Sadly, though, We actually live not so much like a campfire a lot of the time, but we treat church more like a skip the dish order. We want church to be a place where we can get what we want, when we want, no matter how lazy we're feeling. We want church to have the right worship, the right preaching, whatever those things mean. When people act like us, we're like, yes, this is what is for me. Because really what we're saying in that message is, I want everyone else to serve me. Am I the center of the church? No, thank you. No, none of us are. The whole point, the whole purpose is to focus around who God is, to worship him, to relate with him, to connect with him, to grow with him, to become more like him, and to help other people do the same. But if we treat church that other way, like the skip the dish order, we all actually lose out. And so there's this better way of being that we see modeled for us in our Bibles. Everyone here, no matter how young or how old, has something to bring, something to offer, a way that you can participate. And the reason we know that is because God's told us that we are made in his image, which means we are built for community, we are built to be creative beings, and we're built to be people who have offerings to him and to others. And so what we need to consider today is, how could God use the way we interact with one another, the rest of the church, to be what builds up our campfire, what builds up our gatherings, what builds up what we need to sustain us throughout the week? There's good news. God built each one of us uniquely. He designed us with different passions, different gifts, different abilities. We've all been through different life circumstances, which shapes our story and means we have different perspectives and different things that we can offer to those who maybe are going through something, that we've been there, we've done that. Maybe we've seen some things that help us to have some empathy towards others who are hurting. God wants to work in and through every person in this church to bring about the flourishing of his kingdom and the betterment of all his people. Now you might be sitting there and go, well, I don't know what I can bring. I've been coming maybe to church for a while and I like it, but it seems like everything's going. Well, that's missing out a lot on what we're taught here in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Here we see this model that the early church gives to us of how we can sort of metaphorically think of what the different things we bring to the campfire can be. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, we see that the followers of Jesus did four things. They had sort of four ways of acting or being, and four things that they sort of could do. And what they are is, they acted on teaching, they gave, they broke bread, and they prayed. Things that all of us can do. Let's go through on the first one. They'll come back up on the screen. The first thing we read is that the followers of Jesus had something to bring, which was their actions behind what they heard from Jesus. We read in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. But that first part, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why? Well, the very last thing that Jesus sort of commissioned his disciples to do, what he said is their mission was to go out into all the world and teach people to believe and obey everything that he had said. Well, that's great if we all go around and we teach and we share what Jesus said and we explain how we should be living, but it's a very different thing for us to actually live it out, isn't it? It's really easy for a lot of us to come to church on a Sunday and to get our brains scratched by listening to something down here or upstairs, or going to a community group and doing a Bible study and listening to other people and what they have to say. And it's easy for us to take that and then go about the rest of our day or our week. And we do nothing. And sadly, what that leaves us with is a hollow understanding of what Jesus meant. The meaning that Jesus brings through his teaching is the living it out for our flourishing. That's what our whole series about the living in the way of Jesus is. It's understanding that Jesus didn't just come to say some things, but he came to model for us a way of being. And as he explained what was going on, we can understand what we're being invited into, which is a better way of living. But the only way we can experience that, and the only way we can help other people experience it, is if we actually do those things. It sounds so simple, but really it's quite difficult, isn't it? Who's ever sat in church and gone away without doing a thing? The rest of you are liars who didn't put up your hands. Because there's no way, but this is what we have to bring. We have to bring both obedience to Jesus' teaching, which was given in the early church's day through the apostles, today through our many different Bible study leaders, through our Sunday school teachers, through pastors and speakers. These people bring the teaching of Jesus. We can share them with one another, but then it's the thing that we do is we live them out, and we see that as they did that, which is actually the next three things on the list, that's when the church began to grow. That's when good things really started to happen. Because you know what happened before this? Nothing. The followers of Jesus listened to Jesus, then he died and rose again, and they went, you know what? We're going to stay right here. And they hung out, and there was nothing. It was awful. They all were scared. They didn't know what to do. Their leader had been killed. He'd gone to heaven. How do we live in this way? And it wasn't until what we call the Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes and just smacks everybody upside the head and says, look what I have for you, that they decide, oh, we should actually do that thing that Jesus had to bring. And it's then that the church starts to grow. It wasn't immediately after Jesus died and rose again. It wasn't until 50 days later when they finally got a clue. We can live in that 50-day space when we come to church for a lot longer if each of us isn't obedient to the teachings of Jesus. Do you want to live there? Or do you want to live in what comes next? That's the choice of what we bring. And as we do those things, we inspire others to do the same. We see one of the next things that happen is then out of that, what happens is they begin to give. And they begin to give in all sorts of different ways. They give tangibly through resources and finances, but also in acts of service towards one another. In verse 44 to 46, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. That doesn't mean they all looked alike, sound alike, and had the same opinions on everything politically. What that really meant is that they shared everything, that there was a commonality, that everything was distributed amongst one another. So what did they do? They sold property and possessions so that they could give to anyone who had need. Every day, then, they continued to meet together to serve one another, and they had something to give to someone else. We need to figure out how we can live this way, because as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, in Christ, we who are many actually form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Sadly, we live in a really individualistic society. And what that means is that we all live for ourselves. And we're focused about ourselves. I was recently just talking to this about someone who doesn't necessarily like sitting at the front of church. They like sitting at the back because they're like, I don't like people looking at me. And I'm like, hey, that's okay. But just so you know, no one is paying attention because they're all too wrapped up in themselves. That's sad. We shouldn't have to say that. We should actually be a church that looks around and we recognize that there's someone in need and we should be coming alongside and speaking into their lives. Now, please, everyone who's not sitting at the back, don't go to the people at the back today and just start talking to them. That'll freak them out. And people at the back, you're welcome to sit there. We love you. You sit where you need. That's great. But the point is, we're here to be together. God's design is that we would share everything in common with one another. And what that means is that we have to give of what we have. One of the metaphors that goes on time and time again all through the New Testament is this imagery of a body. And the church being made up of all the people who each play a part as one of the body parts. And so there's eyes that see, mouths that speak, feet that move, necks that turn, all sorts of things. And each one of us is meant to play one of those parts. And guess what happens when we stop giving of ourselves and the things that we have? We start to break down. If you're young in this church, I encourage you to go up to one of our old people and ask them, what's it like when something stops working? And every single older person in this room is going to be able to tell you a story or two. Because they know it ends up affecting everything. And while we know that physically, and we have our aches, and we have our pains, and we struggle through the day-to-day when things aren't working properly, we kind of focus all on that, and then we forget the community. And we get so isolated in that we forget that we're actually one of the body parts in this thing we call church and our faith family. And so the building of the church is being brought together because you offer your passions and abilities. Again, it's really easy for us to look around and we say, well, everything's going. But the reality is, everything isn't here if not everyone is giving. Oftentimes, we kind of reduce church just to sort of some of the big things that we think about. We go, well, there's a pastor on stage. There's some people doing the worship music. And then there's some people who are taking care of our kids, so I guess we're done. And that is just sadly lacking. Because we know that there is more to the existence of a church family than just those few things that happen on a Sunday. And thankfully, there are so many people who are involved day-to-day in things. Actually, it was really exciting. We had an event earlier this fall for everyone who's sort of regularly scheduled on a serving team. And it was amazing to me that over half of our church family is regularly committed to serving in some type of role. Some on a Sunday, some throughout the week. It's amazing. But that still only means half the body's working. And I know that when I say this, it can kind of come off selfish. You're like, well, you're the pastor. You want people to do things, so you don't have to do them. Well, true. But also, when you're lacking in giving, I don't get a receive. And they don't get a receive. And they don't get a receive. Whatever that thing is that you have to bring. And one of the realities of not bringing something isn't just that other people don't get a receive, but we don't get a receive. One of the things that has been impressed upon me since a very young age, when my family started going to church in my later elementary years, was that as I served, I actually received. I received a new appreciation for what happens in the church. This is back in the days when there was old school adult Sunday school. Anyone remember that before church service? Right? And my dad would show up to help set up and to teach. And so he'd be down setting up tables. And so what I would do is I would go and I'd make the coffee. Those big, huge, old stainless steel urns. You remember those? It made miserable coffee. And I'd put it all in, but it's what adults needed to learn in Sunday school. And so we did it every week. But as I got to do that, I got to see what else was happening. I got to see the pastor preparing. I got to see our church secretary quickly changing the bulletin because there was some new announcement to get in. I got to see the greeters who would come in during the winter. I got to see the people who would be out shoveling because I lived in central Alberta and there's always snow. And so they'd be clearing it so other people wouldn't slip and slide as they came in the driveway or as they walked up to the church. I got to receive the benefit of seeing all the intricacies of what would happen on a Sunday. And then as I continued to grow, I began to gain relationships with people. Some of my dearest friends in the world are people who I have served alongside of in the church. And the reason that is because we've found people who are mutually passionate about something. First God, and then some other thing. And then we've gone through all sorts of ups and downs and that as church life goes on. And as we've done that, we've bonded together. We've prayed for one another. We've supported each other. We've subbed out one another when we couldn't make it because we were sick. And we knew someone cared and someone wanted to be involved. And so there was benefit for me in serving. And there was benefit for others as they got to receive what I was bringing. But then we see that beyond that, there's also giving financially. These people were willing to sell all their possessions so that there would be the ability to have investment into those who were in need and as well to support the expansion of the growing church in this day and age. This is not just a discipline that helps us be reminded that God is in control and he's ultimately the one who gives us the breath and the ability to work so we can earn the finances and it all comes from him. That's one part of giving. But the other part is we get a great joy in supporting others in need. We get to have an investment in the building and establishment of the church, not just here, but in other places as well. So one of the things even our church does is we designate some of our giving aside to support local and global partners in the work that they're doing. And that's a joy for us. It's a joy when we get to hear the stories of what's happening around the world, what's happening here in our city. And I can tell you again, this is one of the greatest joys for me. For instance, not only do Amy and I support and give towards the church, but one of the places that we give regularly to is an organization here in Canada that's all about developing and equipping pastors who do ministry in Canada. And I have seen firsthand through my involvement with that organization how the investment that they're giving is impacting not just pastors who are going through difficult times, but young pastors who want to learn, and then ultimately by extension to all the hundreds of local churches across our country that are benefiting by healthier, wiser, more invested in pastors. One of the things that commonly comes up in church is people saying, "I don't feel connected." And that's because they have the skip the dish mentality. You always feel connection at the campfire because of the things that you bring and the things that you receive. And if you want to feel a sense of depth of connection, of relationship, of joy in the community that we're building here, you have to give because that's the best way to receive. And so I really encourage you to consider that. Take seriously the opportunities that are presented before us for ways that we can serve one another, for ways that we can give financially to support things. One of the things that very few people get to see, but is the reality of things like our benevolent fund and our Red Tree Pantry, where we get to give to people in the community regularly to help meet basic needs of food, of helping with rent, and helping with all sorts of different challenges that people face, some with disabilities, some people we help get good Christian counseling for issues that have been going on in their lives for a long time. These things are things that as you give towards a church, we're able to bring, and let me tell you, it brings a lot of joy. For those of us who get to do it, and also for those who get to receive. And you can be a part of that. It doesn't matter how old, young, or how old, you have something to bring. But they didn't just give to one another. They didn't just live out things. What they also did is they made sure that they broke bread together in the early church. That's a weird phrase that we don't use all the time here in the church. But what that really means is they kept at the center of everything they did a reminder of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Breaking bread is, of course, this imagery that Jesus used, and we celebrate communion together as a church like we did last week, where we break bread to remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. We drink from a cup to remember that his blood was poured out for us. And what happens here is that Jesus has actually instituted a way for us to think about community. And that's that whenever we gather, we should spend time eating and remembering who he is. In Acts chapter 2, 46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. I really want you to notice how breaking bread and eating together are sort of separated there. Because there is a whole good theology of eating together and why we do community like that. Jesus modeled that in eating with sinners, eating with his disciples, walking and journeying. But there's another thing here, which we call communion, which is that taking the bread and the cup to celebrate and praise God for what he has done, right? That's why it goes on to say that they praise God. When we elevate our memory of what Jesus has done for us, it helps us all to draw closer to Jesus. But notice that second part. It also says that it enjoys the favor of all people, because what happens is we end up bringing people around us. We end up remembering what brings us and ties us all together. We're a weird bunch of people here at Emmanuel. There's people from all sorts of walks of life, going through all sorts of different things. We would be divided politically, socioeconomically, on all sorts of different topics of theology, in all sorts of different places. But you know what makes this thing work? The person of Jesus and what he has done for us. And that is the centering thing. And so one of the ways that we can actually participate as a community in elevating things in others' experiences by reminding other people of this. We've got into this really weird thing where we think communion can only happen here like once a month. And some people have come to the belief for some weird reason. I can't find it in my Bible. Maybe you can, but why it has to be a pastor who blesses it and reads the scripture and all that. There's none of that. You know what we can do? We can do this in our homes. We can do this in our community groups. We can do this with friends or family around a campfire. We can bring together a group of people whose aim is to focus on the person of Jesus and what he's done. I will tell you, one of the most profound moments of communion I've ever had is in the basement of my volunteer youth leader who offered us crazy bread and coke as the body and blood. And the reason it was so profound to me wasn't that it tasted better, but because I was with people who were genuinely trying to invest and to teach me about who Jesus was and what he could mean for me. And I was with my friends who were on this learning journey, and we took seriously. And for me, it was one of the very first times when that happened, I took seriously what this thing meant. We can replicate that in all sorts of places. We don't have to wait for a Sunday once a month. Kids, you can remind your parents of this. families, grandparents. When you invite the family over, you can make this a part of your meal or the time that you spend. And be intentional in investing in younger generations, the rest of your family, by pointing them at the one who brings us all together. Finally, number four, the last thing that we see that all of us can bring and the way that all of us can invest in one another is through prayer. Again, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer, when done with others, is a powerful thing. Let me just give you some examples from Scripture. They're not going to be on the screen, but you can write them down if you want. Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all come through times of prayer, where the people of God are gathered and invite God to work in the lives of those around us. God is with us in the moments where we pray for one another. And through that, he destroys spiritual strongholds in our world and in our lives. And he can bring us healing. Yet for some reason, though, those types of references are scattered all throughout Scripture, and we see time and time again people participating in prayer and making a difference, for some reason, we can often come to church and never pray. We can listen to one another and what's going on in our lives and forget to talk to God about it with that person right then and there. One of the easiest things that every person can do in this church today and every day is to pray for those who are gathered around us. Pray for someone when they share something with you on a Sunday or throughout the week. You can do this over the phone. Like, there's no magic in it being in this place. You can run into each other in the grocery store or somewhere throughout the week, and you can pray for them. I encourage you, make this a part of your regular Sunday and your day-to-day whenever you're with people of the church. A great example of this, and one of the things that's most inspirational for me, is our prayer wall that we have. If you go out these doors and to the left, if you've never noticed it, it's this prayer wall. There's all sorts of cards, and then there's stickers that say, I pray for you. And we have an opportunity to write the different requests that we have, and we all have the opportunity. Even those of us who are painful introverts can go over to a board and look at a card and pray for one another. But then put a sticker there that reminds other people to pray for them. But you know what the inspiration for me is? You know who uses that board most? The kids of our church. While the cards change, you might not notice it at all times, but one of the things that I have noticed as we eventually take down some of the cards and after we prayed for them for a while, is that it is continually a stream from the children and youth of our church to put up requests for prayer. For themselves, for family members, for classmates. And that's an opportunity for you and for me to partner with our kids, our youth, and what's going on in their lives. For our kids and youth, it's an opportunity to partner with you and what's going on in your life in a meaningful way, where God is actually going to be on the move through those things. So why don't we participate? In each of these things, we have the opportunity to be involved and to bring something into community. And what's better than just the fact that we bring things into community, but is that God multiplies whatever we bring. God invites us into these things not because he needs us to be involved. He can do it all his own way, but for our benefit in seeing how God can move through our offerings. In verse 47, we read, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The whole church had something to bring, but it was God who takes it and transforms it and multiplies it into thousands and thousands, in this case, of people coming to faith in Jesus. One of the most radical ways that we can be an example to the world, one of the best ways that we can help God move, or we can allow God to move through us, is through our offering of our time, of our obedience, of our gifts, and our prayers. I genuinely believe that God has brought everyone to this church in order to be a contributor and not a consumer. God has given each of us so much in so many different ways, passions, abilities, talents, resources, experiences, that he wants us to contribute in meaningful ways. And to those who already give, I want to say thank you. I want to thank you for being obedient to what God is doing. I want to thank you for your continued investment. I know sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's draining, sometimes we want to dive back into that individualistic way, but you fight against that. So thank you for allowing God to use your offering. To others, I would challenge you to consider what you might have to bring. Do you want to see our faith community flourish? Do you want to see things grow? Do you want to see people in our church living lives more closely aligned with the person of Jesus? Do you want to see those who have not yet come to faith be saved through what's happening? Then think about what you can bring to our gatherings, to our community of faith, and offer them humbly and allow God to do incredible things. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all of these things. Lord, we thank you for the challenge that's before us in Scripture of how you have shown us what a good way of being could be, that you have shown us a better way to live as a community of faith. And God, it's challenging, it's convicting, it's hard at times. But God, we know that if we are faithful, you are also faithful to move, to multiply, to do things that only you can do. And so we thank you for that. And so we give in faith. God, I thank you for this whole church family. I thank you that we were able to gather today, young and not so young, that we're able to enjoy the presence of one another, the energy that the kids got to bring us today. And God, I just pray that that would just serve as an inspiration for us this week to be reminded of the family that you have brought us to. And God, would that inspire us to live in unique ways? So God, we give you our worship, we give you our praise, we give you all that you have given us in return, and we thank you for bringing us here today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.